Welcome to David Maister's Business Masterclass, a series of advanced business seminars exploring principles and practices for success in professional businesses.
Hello, I'm David Maister. This is No Regrets, the fourth episode in my series on career development. In this seminar, we'll explore some ways to think about making job and career choices. I'll never forget the best piece of career advice I ever received. I was a young assistant professor at the Harvard Business School, eager to figure out what I had to do to get ahead. I went to one of the elder statesmen of the school to find out what was required to get tenure. "You're asking the wrong question, David," he said. "The rule here is very simple. If the rest of the world wants you, we'll probably want you. If the rest of the world doesn't want you, we probably won't want you. Focus on being the best you can be at what you want to do. Make yourself valuable on the general marketplace." At the time, I thought this answer was evasive and unsatisfactory. "But what should I focus on?" I asked. "Should I choose a functional discipline, an industry specialty, or something else?" "It's up to you," he replied. "Do whatever you enjoy. Don't choose something you don't enjoy just because you think it's what we want." Somewhat skeptically, I followed his advice, and it led me, many years later, to the point where I chose a consulting career, which I do love and which has flourished, rather than pursuing an academic career. I enjoyed every minute I was in academia, and I've enjoyed every minute since I left. I have no regrets. It's been fun all the way. As the decades have passed for me, I've come to realize the profound wisdom of my mentor's remarks. The message is simple. Success comes from doing what you enjoy. If you don't enjoy it, how can it be called success? Many people approach their career or business planning as an analytical exercise about which markets are growing and which services are in demand. While this is relevant data, I believe that career planning is not primarily an analytical task. In predicting success, enthusiasm and passion, and the hard work they inspire, count for much more than an extra piece of ability. As I have reported already in this series, in my observation of people, it's perfectly clear that success does not come from those with the highest IQ, or who went to the best schools, or even those who chose the most popular specialty. Rather, lifelong drive and determination have been most influential in predicting success. Unless you are working at something you love, it is hard to find the discipline to get done what needs to get done in order to succeed. This thought is not new, frequently cited as a quote from U.S. President Calvin Coolidge. "Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent." Many people, when making career plans, ask themselves what they are good at. However, as Coolidge pointed out, talents or skills or strengths are in fact not the key issue, even if they are relevant. Rather, what is important is what inspires persistence and determination. In other words, what you care about. Don't worry about what you're good at. If something turns you on, you'll be good enough. If it doesn't turn you on, you won't. Your strengths are irrelevant. What you love is critical. This simple message is often ignored, particularly by people in mid-career who've attained a high level in their organization. Many are not working at things they enjoy, and worse, many have not taken the time to figure out how they could make their work lives more fulfilling. While they may have annual goals and budgets and performance reports, few people have already answered a question such as these. Number one, what do you want to do next? Number two, where would you like to be 3 years from now? Number three, what kinds of people would you like to be serving 3 years from now? Number four, what kinds of work would you like to be doing 3 years from now? Number five, what next career challenge would you find most exciting? These questions represent nothing more than having a continuously updated and revised personal strategic plan for your career. They're not about things that you do to meet your firm's needs and goals. This is about you and your satisfaction. The questions are intended to force to the surface the essential issue that every one of us must address: where am I going next in my career? Many people are too busy worrying about their organization's performance criteria to figure out what success really means to them. They don't take the time to ask, what do I really want to accomplish during the next stage of my career? What would truly satisfy me? Many people do not know what career options they have. They don't know what it is that they could love, and they don't know how to figure out what kind of work would engage their enthusiasms. They truly don't know what they would want. I'm frequently asked, how do I figure out what my passion might be? There is no perfect recipe, but here are a few things I think I've learned by watching thousands of people in action over the past 20 years. The most obvious place to start is by reflecting on the past few years of your work life and asking yourself, when did I have the most fun? I recommend that you pull out or create a list of every assignment you've done in the past 3 years and ask yourself, on which assignments did you most enjoy working, and with which clients did you most enjoy working? When did you feel most fulfilled? When did you impress yourself or feel most proud of yourself? Wow, did I do that? If you can answer these questions, you're well on the way to a personal strategic plan. All you have to do is figure out how to get more of those kind of assignments or those kind of clients. These questions may be obvious, but few people actually take the time to look back on their work life and consider these issues. Secondly, notice that more than any other factor, it is the people we have to deal with that determine the quality of our work lives. Since the overwhelming majority of business life is spent dealing with people, clients, colleagues, subordinates, superiors, you'll be happier if you like and respect the people with whom you'll be dealing. Do you know who you like and respect the most? Construct a career that will allow you to spend most of your time with those you like and respect. Life's too short to spend dealing with idiots. As philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre once noted, hell is other people. Most of us want not only to respect those we deal with, but we also want to be respected and appreciated. Accordingly, you should ask yourself, who do I want to impress? Whose approval do I want to win? You can't impress everyone simultaneously. Different people are impressed by different things: money, status, intellect, interpersonal skills, character, contribution to society, and so on. Ask yourself, for what do I want to be admired and by whom? We all want to impress people. The tough part is figuring out precisely who we want to impress and why. Similarly, we all want respect and prestige, but in whose eyes? It's more likely that you'll find the right answer by thinking about the clients you want to impress and the people you want to serve. If you accomplish that, impressing colleagues and co-workers will take care of itself. Your colleagues, as my mentor at the Harvard Business School pointed out, will be most impressed if you do something that the outside world acknowledges. The following exercise may help you clarify what you really want. One key to discovering what you really like and love is to ask yourself, what are the things you don't like to admit? For example, I don't like to admit it, but I need to be the center of attention. Okay, find a career path that will let you show off. Or, I don't like to admit it, but I don't like dealing with other people. Okay, then devise a role that will let you make your contribution through things done in the back room, such as intellectual creativity and true technical superiority. Or another one, I don't like to admit it, but I really want to be rich. Fine, go out and build a business. Or, I don't like to admit it, but I'm an intellectual snob. You know, that's all right too. Go find a career path that will allow you to work only with smart people. Play to your evil secrets. Don't try to suppress them. You are a lot less flexible than you think you are. One of the reasons many people do not love what they currently do is because they've outgrown it. They used to find what they do challenging and exciting, but they've done it too many times now to still feel the thrill. There's a lesson here. don't think too far ahead. Few career choices are forever. The choice to be made is not what you want to do with the rest of your work life, but which next challenge would fulfill you over, say, a 3-year period. Most successful people I know have had varied careers with a pattern of sequential specializations. At any one time, they were completely absorbed in something, but after a while, they moved on to something else. Many successful careers, when viewed retrospectively, look like a logical progression, as if a single career choice was made and a plan laid out at the beginning. Few of them are really made that way. Careers are built by moving from one challenge to the next. Successful people don't focus on where they want to end up ultimately. Few of us can see that far ahead. Rather, successful people focus on what they're going to do next. Don't try to plan too far ahead. In 5 to 10 years, you'll be a different person who wants different things from life. How many of us have the same goals today that we did 10 years ago? Choose something that will be exciting, challenging, and will make you happy for the next few years. The longer term will take care of itself. What about the advice of others? No one else can tell you what you should want in your career. In fact, my opinion is that you should ban the word should from your career planning. There are usually a lot of people around you, colleagues, superiors, loved ones and friends, who will tell you what you should want from your career and from life. And they'll tell you, especially if you ask them. But it's fatal to be overly influenced by them. Those around you can help by providing options, ideas, suggestions, or market and business opportunities that they think would be best for you. It's always a good idea to solicit outside opinions in order to expand the range of alternatives to be considered. But you don't have to accept other people's ideas and conclusions, even if what you hear has a common theme. Don't get stampeded by what people around you value. The task is to figure out what you value, and value highly enough to throw yourself into with unqualified passion. As you plan the next phase of your career, bear in mind that happiness in work life is determined much more by what role you've got, the tasks you perform, the people you deal with, than it is by the firm you're with or what profession you're in. Many people choose a profession, then choose a firm, then choose a role. I believe this is the wrong order. Figure out what you want to be doing with your days, what role you want to play, and then tell your organization, if necessary, that that's what you want to do. If they don't accept it, change organizations. Don't sell a career. Buy one for yourself. If you're thinking of a new role, ask yourself what you really need to know about the career choice you've selected in order to be sure that you'll be happy. Find someone who's already doing what you're thinking of doing. Don't be afraid to seek them out and ask questions. Check it out. Don't sell yourself. Buy. Remember, planning your career is up to you, not your firm. If your new career path doesn't work out, the results will be a lot more painful for you than for your firm. You should be a lot pickier than they are in deciding what you're going to do. Don't sell, buy. In my experience, many people fail to develop the sort of plans described here because they feel relatively powerless. After all, they say, it's a tough market out there, and I can't afford only to work on what I like. I have to work at what I can get. In many ways, comments like this prove my point. Nothing is so impressive, and hence marketable, than somebody who clearly knows what they love and why. Someone without a passionate commitment to what they want to do will indeed have to take whatever they can get. You can either buy yourself a career or be bought by one. Don't sell, buy. This concludes No Regrets, the 4th episode in my series on career development. Next, we'll turn to examining the balance sheet of your career, your assets, and how to think about investing in improving them.
Thank you for listening to David Maister's Business Masterclass. You can find the notes for this and other seminars in this series at davidmaister.com. You can also join in the ongoing discussion of these issues at David Maister's blog, Passion, People, and Principles. If you've enjoyed today's seminar, you can cast your monthly vote for us at Podcast Alley, by visiting the podcast page at davidmaester.com.